So this particular verse is speaking about how we should apply the human form of life, and how in general the society, or materialistic society of the earth, is misusing it. First there was a Satya Yuga. People were all very, very spiritually inclined. They're explained as being Paramahamsas. And then as Kali Yuga got underway, they came to the Treta Yuga, where people lost one particular attribute. Then the Dwapara Yuga, half the pious activities were reduced, half their spiritual ability. And then finally, in the Kali Yuga, there's only truthfulness left. So even that's very, very rare nowadays. So, why? Because people are cheating. So how can there be any truthfulness? I've just been taking a note over the last few months about, you know, these big supermarkets. They're actually just swamping everything in all the little businesses in the late 80s and early 90s. They're all disappearing. And you see on their shelves, they put products there of their own particular brand, which are cheaper than the other brand. So it's only a matter of time before there's one big supermarket. It'll have eaten all the others up. And then what happens? Lust. Lusting for power, lusting for money. Everybody's competing. It's a competitive world. And therefore, when eventually he's my enemy and I have killed him. And so many other enemies I will kill. I am the Lord of all I survey. I am so happy and prosperous. I shall enjoy with my family. I will rejoice. This is the material conception of life for everybody. It's just that they're more successful. But this is the mentality. So then what happens? All the prices go up and everybody gets squeezed and squeezed. We're all being squeezed by one another. Adiatmika, Adibhautika and Adidaivika. Adibhautika. We can even be squeezed by other devotees sometimes. But so this is creating, what does it create? It creates a shortage in materials and necessities, which are in abundance for everybody. And it also creates a shortage in relationships, in spiritual life. People become more and more independent. So selfishness or lust is the, what's it described as being in the Bhagavad Gita? Anybody remember? Lust is, it says, ato kena prayukto yam papam charati purushaha anicham apivarshneya eva niyojitaha. Arjuna asks the question how we're impelled to acting in the wrong way, in a sinful way. And what's the answer? Karma esha, krodha esha, rajagana samarva, mahashana mahapatma, vidyanam ihaverinam. See, all devouring sinful any of the world. The desire to think that we can enjoy. And that all springs from this, what it is talking about. Materialistic leaders, they're thinking that they're the body. So this bodily identification is the number one sin. As soon as we think we're the body, then we're in big trouble. Because everything we do will be based on, I'm the body, so what do I have to do? What do I have to do if I'm the body? I have to fulfill the desires and needs of the body only. We forget about everything else. Bayam dviti abhinivasa shat. So that means fearfulness. Automatically we become fearful. So the whole world is running on this fear, on this fear energy. So what about devotees? It doesn't happen to devotees, though, does it? We're completely above all these things. Is that right? No, we're not, actually. Everybody knows that. Sometimes we kid ourselves, especially when we first come to the movement. Definitely we're up there. We're going to, we're really amongst the leaders. But actually a devotee is a leader. Even the most insignificant devotee, or seemingly externally significant, every devotee is significant actually. Big surrender, to surrender to Krishna. They're actually capable leaders because they're the only ones who have any real knowledge. So as leaders, we have to take this, what this verse is saying is become serious about spiritual life. Dharma svanushita pumsha vishvakshena katasuya nod pado padet yadi ratim shrama evri kevalam. The materialistic activities, what is it? Shrama evri kevalam. What does that mean? Shrama evri kevalam. It's a complete waste of time. And so, dharmasya apavargasya nata raya pakalte. The spiritual activities that we perform, all activities should be directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if actually one is practicing devotional service or practicing a spiritual activity and is trying to enjoy that activity, then that's also a complete waste of time. It's highly not recommended. So it's described how spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Once we get on that, on the spiritual life, then the real work starts. A materialist, he can do anything he wants. Anything he wants, I can try. Or the material modes of nature can make him do anything he wants. And he doesn't have to worry about it. But as soon as we start practicing spiritual life, then we have to become really discerning about what we do. So most spiritual practices, they'll give us dharma, artha, what is it? Karma and moksha. But it says that this process in the Bhagavatam is supposed to be completely freed from any of these three things, of these four things. So I thought we'd just analyse these dharma, artha, karma and moksha, how they can actually maybe infiltrate into devotional service. Because we described as being neophyte in the beginning, but Prabhupada actually said, he was asked the question, how many pure devotees have we got in the movement? And he looked at his servant, he said, how many devotees are there in the movement? He says, gave a number, 150, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, we have 150 pure devotees. But then later on I had some conversations and he was qualifying it. To the degree that you follow my instructions properly, then to that degree you're a pure devotee. How is that? Because it's described like the mango. The mango may be green and it's not eatable, only in chutneys and things like this, but it's not actually ripe. But it's still a mango. So when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we're acting on the spiritual platform by the virtue of his instructions. And then later on, of course, we become more self-sufficient in our devotional service as we ripen in devotional service and become, we can more or less function a lot more on the independent platform, to want not independent, but we don't need to be told what to do every 5 minutes. So dharma, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna asks the question. He says, what if one knows the principles of religion? What if one knows the Shastras? Yashastra vidimushricha vartati karma karata nasasadima vapnodi nasukam naparam vidim. What if one knows but doesn't follow, and this verse answers it, then we don't achieve anything. It's a waste of time. And why? Because he says that when we start to speculate, then immediately the modes of nature expand to the heart. The heart is pure. But when we start to misuse our independence, immediately the modes of nature affect the heart. And this affects our mind and intelligence. And then we carry on acting in the wrong way. So it says, and then Prabhupada gives the cure in that purport in the 17th chapter, that we have to take devotional service very seriously and very seriously follow the instructions and guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Then one can gradually come out of these modes of nature and to the point of devotional service. So in other words, we need to follow the careful guidance of a spiritual master. So Prabhupada was once, he was giving a talk to the devotees in New Mayapur not long before he left this world, and all they'd come from all over Europe, Germany, England, like that, and France, of course. And they were asking him questions. He'd given a talk, and this point came up about making mistakes. To err is human, but the spiritual master, is he human? What do you think? He's human. Is that right? I say that bona fide spiritual master is not to be considered human. What's that verse? I forget, it's in the Bhagavatam. It says that one should see the Acharya Mam Vijnanam Navamanya Tikarishit Namarcha Buryasuyate Sarvadeva Mayagru. He's a representative of all the demigods. We shouldn't see him as an ordinary person. Why? Because if he's properly situated, he's actually representing Krishna. He's the external manifestation of the Supersoul. The whole point of life is to see the Supersoul in the heart and then understand that to be Krishna. But with the modes of nature there, we can't differentiate the Supersoul from our own perverted thoughts. So the spiritual master sent to a sincere person so that he can actually give that guidance from externally. So he's not to be considered ordinary. So Prabhupada gave the instruction in that conversation that there'll be no mistake if you follow my instructions. There'll be no mistake. Mistakes come when we don't follow your instructions. Yes, there will be mistake. So, so when we don't follow, we start to deviate, and we start to follow, instead of pure devotional service, we start to follow in this dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. We start to, it becomes materialistically motivated. And what's artha? Artha means, our dharma, our spiritual life becomes mixed with thoughts for some kind of reward from it. This is artha. And then because we have that materialistic desire, the artha also becomes contaminated. The things that we acquire becomes misused because our spiritual intelligence is also affected. I put a few points down here about different types of artha that can apply in a situation. It says, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shubhi Edamana Manapam Nirvarhat Abedartam Vai Twamakinchina Gochara. These material opulences come in the form of we may have an opulent birth. We may a good birth, or we may have opulence. We may have good looks. We may have learning. So I say all these things come to a devotee, don't they? Immediately, our past births wiped out, and we're on the highest platform, Janma, Aishvarya. We don't want for anything. Everything's supplied very nicely without extra endeavour. Shruta, we become very learned than anybody in the material world. And Shribir, they always say, no, even if a devotee is not considered material to be very good looking, people are always attracted because they're bright faced. So we gain all these things, and these things can become a source of distraction for the devotee. But I wrote some things down here which are more practical. Anybody think of any distractions that come from this artha, from misuse of or mispractice of devotional service by not following the instructions of the spiritual master? Well, immediately our discrimination is affected. Most important thing we said in the beginning is, in devotional service, we're on the razor's edge, and we have to discriminate what to do and what not to do. As soon as we become materially motivated, our discrimination is affected. Anything else? That? Sorry?
We seem that we are doers.
We think we're the doers. That's a big, big mistake, isn't it? And then because we may deviate a little bit, we may notice, oh, wait a minute, this is not what Prabhupada says, or this is not what so-and-so says. And then what we do, we may think, because we've become a little bit more contaminated, we start to rationalise it. And we start to make adjustments here. Everything fits now for the time being. We're all right. And we also, those who are... Instead of depending on Krishna, we start to depend on others. And we become subservient to their desires. If you notice that the Shastra said that this is a Brahminical movement, Prabhupada said. And what's the symptoms of the Brahman? He's not dependent on others. But if we're not following properly, we start to become dependent, and then our ability to speak the truth or do the right thing becomes affected, because we may affect others. And that we're dependent on that person. So that's a bit of a difficulty. And ultimately we miss the wealth that we get because we are is misspent. And then also we become what? Bad association for anybody we meet. So this is why a devotee is a leader if he follows Prabhupada properly. If we're not following Prabhupada's instructions individually or collectively, then we're we're going to be in difficulty. So we talked about artha, and what artha leads to karma for sense gratification. So this karma. This is the first thing in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? It says that in the third chapter it really starts to talk about the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita overviews the whole Gita. And then in the third chapter it starts to go into explaining the Gita in detail. And what's the first quality that it mentions is unbeneficial for us? Towards the end of the third chapter. Karma. It's karma. It's materialistic religion. Dharma, artha, karma. It's for what acquirements? And it's allowed because somebody's at that level. But it's a dangerous thing. It's the all-devouring sinful enemy. So then in the fourth chapter it says that, you know, this transcendental knowledge is passed down through the saintly kings to actually do away with karma. So how much should we keep this desire for material enjoyment out of a devotee's life? Prabhupada always emphasized all the way through the Gita. There's so many different types of religion specified. Jnana, yoga, karma yoga, controlling the senses, you know, like this. Then it says, Dharma, Sarvadharma Pricha, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vajar. That's the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Abandon these different types of religion and just surrender to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is making that point all the way through the Bhagavad Gita, in every purport, even though it's pointing things out from different standpoints. He's saying, but a devotee engages in devotional service and surrenders to Krishna, surrenders to the spiritual master. So how much is it? Are we needed to set an example for society as leaders? There are leaders of the temple, there's individual leaders of different aspects of the temple, but we're all leaders in our own right, in that when we go out, we can guide anybody back to Godhead by the words that we speak. This is real leader. And another thing is that this materialistic type of devotional service, it's also in the end of the second chapter, highly unrecommended. It says, Triguna Vishaya Veda, Nirstriguna Bhavarjuna, Nirdranva Nichasattvaso, Niryoga Shema Atmavam. My dear Arjuna, become free from all desires, all safety in this world. Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. I'll read the verse, shall I? says, the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Remember those three modes we mentioned in the beginning? When we become materialistic and motivated, the heart becomes contaminated. So a devotee works in the mode of goodness. He pushes himself to remain in the mode of goodness so he can discriminate what is real service and what is actually ignorance. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature, O Arjuna. Become transcendental to these modes. Be free from all dualities and free from all anxieties for gain and safety. So what happens is we're worried about our maintenance. And then our all devotional service is affected. Well, if I do that, then this will happen. And if I do that, and it all becomes on the mental platform, material platform. And all our decisions become affected and we make the wrong decisions. They may temporarily seem to be correct. You know, things are flourishing. Some anxieties, but only for so long. What's material symptoms? It's actually sukha and dukkha. Sukha for some time, then dukkha. Free from all anxiety and safety and be established in the self. So this is the instructions of the spiritual master. They're not easy. But they're establishing us in the self. They're establishing us in Krishna consciousness. We can do things in the right mode then. One nice verse in the Bhagavatam talks about this this materialistic way. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance, be it sinful or pious. Karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, coloured with fruitive activity. And as long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activities, he has to accept a material body. So it's saying, be it sinful or pious. So what is bhakti? This is basic teachings of the nectar of instruction. Sarva padi, vinir muktam, tatparvaya niramalam, rishikena rishikena, sevanam bhakti uchite. So bhakti means we engage all our senses in the service of the Lord. This is the key, no matter what the situation. And what's the fruit of that endeavour? That means that we become from material designations, which is forcing us to act karmically, karma. We become purified, free from that designation. Become free from all designations, Arjuna, and be situated in the self. So then the next verse says, first class devotional service then is free from artha, from jnana, karma, yoga, and anything else material. It's free, it says uncovered. It's uncovered from these material things. And it's practiced favourably, and what's the other word? And continuously. And as Krishna desires. So Krishna's desires are coming through the representative of the Lord, who is representing the Shastras. I gave an example to the Brahmacharis, actually. We had a class a few weeks ago, but I think it's a good thing to put into for everybody else to hear. There was one, he's a famous, he gives seminars on management, and it also includes managing one's own life, and it can be related to a devotee. To some degree, we shouldn't start reading those books, you know, and thinking that this is the answer. This is back to so-and-so, and he's found the answer. But he was making a point to all these big businessmen, you know, paying thousands of pounds to listen to his seminar, and he'd got this little Perspex jug or container, and he was full of rocks and sand and little pebbles and, you know, different size. And it was full to the brim, just perfect. And he asked some volunteers to come, and a few came down, and he emptied this thing out. And he said, So I want you to fill it back up again perfectly. So there's nothing left out, no holes. So they started filling it up. And every single one of them, they couldn't fill it up. There was always a piece left out. He said, look, you've left a piece there. And they were trying to push it in and they couldn't do it. And so, anyway, they said, you know, they were really getting irate about it. They couldn't do it. They'd seen it full, but they couldn't fill it. And so he said, shall I do it? Yeah, you do it. And so he got on the biggest piece and he put it in. And then he got on the next biggest piece and he put it in. And he worked his way down. And then at the end, he got them all fitted in. He got the sand and shook it in, tapped it, and it fitted perfectly. Sounds easy. But what's the point? Is that the biggest rock, what's the biggest concern in our life? At the end of the day, when we leave this world, what's the biggest thing we're going to consider important? That we practiced our spiritual life nicely so that we're in good consciousness. So, and actually, if we do that in this lifetime, maintain that as a focal point, which is not easy, it takes a big endeavour, this is a test of Maya, then actually everything else will fit in. Why? Because we praise Krishna. What's the result of all scriptures? Everything is governed by how Krishna is pleased. If Krishna is pleased, then everything's successful. So our goal is not to gain anything from our devotional activities. We shouldn't fall into the trap of this dharma, artha, karma, moksha. We should always remember that, you know, put the priorities right, put our spiritual life right, put the big rock in first. And then in all activities we'll be able to overcome this pushing of lust, which is always there. Every time we become a little like lust is waiting to enter the mind. And then from that we deviate. So we can stop there anyway. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?